Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase joining you on today's Tuesday edition of the show alongside, as always, my co-host Gino Camilleri. And it's another episode of Off-Season Options. Yesterday we did episode 2. We did coaching a couple weeks ago, but the Eagles filled all their vacancies already. And then yesterday we talked about quarterbacks, specifically backups, of course, because Carson Wentz is the guy moving forward. Today, yesterday I teased that we were going to talk about running back and kind of go all offense and then all defense, but the Eagles today made a pretty substantial move when it comes to personnel on the defensive side of the football, releasing linebacker Nigel Bradham. So I thought it'd be good to talk about now offseason options for linebacker, Gino, because it's a position that now is a pretty big need right up there with wide receiver and cornerback. And what we'll do then is tomorrow we'll go offense, defense, offense each day. So we'll kind of switch it up every day. We'll flip the script and switch sides of the field. But I wanted to get into linebacker today because that's a pretty big move, man. They freed up $5 million in cap space. They had a team option on his $8 million cap hit. And as much as I love the guy, that would have been the seventh highest hit on the team. I think this was a not really a surprising move.
I remember back a couple years ago when he signed that deal, and I think he got a lot of flack for it online.
Yeah, because we thought he was going to get a big deal. I thought he was as good as gone after the Super Bowl.
Absolutely, and I remember there was something with him and Richard Sherman because it was one of those deals that just was like definitely not a player-friendly deal,
right.
And I remember Richard Sherman said something about it because of this exact reason, that it was just a two-year deal and they had that option after this year. And I think you and I, for the most part, kind of knew that this was coming. Mm-hmm. I think we were on the same page with that, as well as a lot of the other people in
that's
Eagles,
that's a huge cap
media.
Hit. Like, you're not for
yeah,
a 31-year-old.
Yeah, they weren't taking that.
Yeah, for a 31-year-old that regressed as much as he did last year in coverage and as a tackler, and he got injured again. I mean, that's just look. I love Nigel Bradham, and it's sad to see another Super Bowl starter go. He was instrumental in that 2017 run, and even last year down the stretch, or 2018, I should say, in the playoff run, he got going once again. He got hot, and he was huge in all of those red zone goal line stands, you know what I mean, the last couple years, and last year against the Packers and Lambeau. But this was one of those moves that Howie Roseman was going to have to make this year, where you make the decision with your head and not your heart.
Yeah, I think Howie kind of made that known in his end of the season press conference, that was like a big flaw of his, was that he was kind of like a player's GM, and he does have that big hole in his heart. But yeah, I think we found that out the hard way the last couple seasons, trying to rely on these guys, especially these guys that are regressing in talent level. And I think moving on from Bradham is, in my opinion, promising, because they're not really sitting on their hands and settling, I would say, with the play of their veteran players, especially their veteran players. And I'm glad that that's a key movement for them going forward. But now the question stands, because I'm not sitting on this podcast for another year if I have to comment on Nate Geary being our number one linebacker. I'll just
that
tell you that
cannot
much right
happen,
now.
Dear
I might
Lord.
Sell everything halfway through the year if that's the case.
I don't imagine that will happen. And coming up on segment 2 and 3, me and Gino will get into some offseason options for the Eagles now at linebacker, because, Gino, me and you are very, I don't know, I don't want to call this an anti-linebacker podcast, but we don't care about it certainly as much as safety, cornerback, defensive line, every offensive position. However, I don't want to get that misconstrued. Construed like the Kamu Grugier-Hill role, the Nate Geary role, mm-hmm. what used to be the Michael Kendricks role. Like in 2020, when you use three safeties and three corners so much of the time, yeah, in that area, me and you don't care about investing in linebacker as much. But don't get it twisted. The Nigel Bradham role, the three-down middle linebacker position, that's one that's extremely important, and it's not one that you can ignore. I think it's right up there with corner and wide receiver.
Yeah, a lot of the things that I've learned in evaluation over the last couple months are you just can't get held up on what a player's position is. Like, just because he's a middle linebacker doesn't mean he's just a middle linebacker. Like, how Jim Schwartz likes to deploy his middle linebackers is much different than other defensive coordinators, how they
sure,
like to deploy
yeah.
them. And what they do at that position is that they're going to be a three-down linebacker, as you said. They're going to be in the box for a majority of the time, and they need the space to make plays from inside the box to outside the numbers, because you know Jim loves to keep an additional linebacker in the box because he stacks the box every single time. We know that. But they haven't had a guy, especially Bradham, who is very slow-footed the last few years, that can make those plays. You need speed in the interior of your defense, especially at linebacker nowadays. I think you have seen that, and the one big move that you've seen the last couple years where a team has put a huge priority on that was the Pittsburgh Steelers when they used an additional first-round pick to trade up to get Devin Bush, which was an unheralded move at the time, in my opinion, but now you see how important it is to have linebackers that can move so well in space, cover that much ground. It is essential in this modern day NFL.
Yeah, and again, he regressed as a tackler. That was something that he was really good at from 2016 up until 2018, but it was also coverage, like when, you know, and also Jim Schwartz doesn't blitz a lot with his linebackers, so normally they're going to be in space and they're going to have to cover man on man sometimes, but also in zone, you want now a three-down player that not only, yeah, he can shed a block from a guard that's pulling on the second level, and you got to shed that and, you know, stop the running back, which Nate Geary just, you know, the discipline too. You want a guy that's super disciplined. But you also need, like you said, speed, explosiveness. It's why so many safety-like players are now playing linebacker, because in zone, you want to be able to have those guys be able to get sideline to sideline. And I just think Bradham, you could really tell specifically last year what a step back he took in that area as well.
Without a doubt, and you've seen how teams have deployed their tight ends the last couple years, mm-hmm. and really what the mold is nowadays, you've seen it. I mean, the 12 personnel has run the league the last couple years, and rightfully so, because you have these teams that are in this ideology that you still need, quote-unquote, a thumping linebacker, when in reality, you need a guy who's maybe 210 pounds soaking wet.
Right.
You need move that all over the defense.
Like, you need that strength. Like, again, the Eagles do need a disciplined, strong tackling, good against the run, in the box linebacker for sure. But
for sure,
you need them, like you're saying, and what we have been really wanting out of that position for years now is you want a player that can do that. But like you said, you know, a tight end like Dallas Goedert lines up in the slot, or a running back is called in motion, and you got to go out there and cover him in space. You, like you said, you're not going to have the prototypical linebacker with the neck pad in the 80s. That's just a thumper. It's just the defense now, it's going in a different direction, to the point where almost you don't even have the position on the field for 50% of the time. So if you're a linebacker, even a three-down middle linebacker, you got to have some safety in you as well. So it is a position that certainly is important for the Eagles to fill. Nigel Bradham, again, as a player over a four-year span, an incredible signing, a value signing, super underrated, didn't have to pay him a whole lot, and he was huge in the playoff runs of 2017 and 2018. So, going to miss Nigel Bradham for sure, but again, it's a head-over-heart decision here by Howie Roseman and the front office. And Gino, that leaves just eight guys under contract that started in Super Bowl 52 for Philadelphia, and a few of them, like Alshon Jeffrey, probably will be gone too. It's kind of sad to see. I mean, I didn't realize so much turnover has really happened with this team over the last couple years.
Yeah, can we just make like a quick comment on the wide receiver position and Alshon Jeffrey? I'm beginning to succumb to the idea that he's as good as gone.
Yeah, like, I think so too. It took me a while to warm up to it. Me and you, I think, both didn't want to believe it, right? I think we both were, just based on who we thought he was off the field, character-wise, and what he's meant for the team over the past couple years, I almost, at least personally, didn't want to believe it. But the evidence is really stacked against him, and it sounds like the Eagles just want him out. So I'm with you, man. I think it's looking like there's going to be at least seven starters then, not eight, because I think Alshon's as good as gone.
Without a doubt, and I mean, we talked about it. I remember clear as day sitting in the studio with the Fourth and John guys, mm-hmm. and we were talking about it, and we brought up the thing with Russell Wilson and Golden Tate, and if the guys aren't on your side, you got to ship them out of town.
Regardless of the cap hit. I mean, to me, they have almost $50 million in cap space anyway. Like, it's not going to kill them getting rid of Alshon. So I'm with you, man, and it sucks because, like, how do we feel about him now moving forward when you look back on Eagles history? I mean, he was so huge in two playoff runs and a Super Bowl title, but a guy like that 2 years in a row bashed a quarterback that to me just does not deserve that sort of criticism that he got from that player. I'm very conflicted with how I feel about Alshon now, and it kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but hey, that's why we're talking about these head-over-heart moves, and that you have to think with your head. And sometimes the best move is to remove something from the scenario. You know, I mean, was getting rid of Sam Bradford the best move for this organization at the time and getting Carson Wentz in there? Absolutely. I mean, sometimes you have to do some peel the Band-Aid off and make a gamble. And getting rid of Alshon would be tough to stomach, but hey, that's a position where you have some guys there now. You can't afford to do that at linebacker. I mean, you really don't have anybody. That's a more dire position right now, to me, in my opinion, than wide receiver.
They're almost rebuilding linebacker now from the ground up, as well as maybe the 100%. Secondary. I mean, maybe not safety, depending on what happens with Malcolm Jenkins and Ronnie McLeod. But yeah, Howie Roseman is going to have to rebuild the second and third level of this defense this year. So it's extremely important. It's a crucial offseason, and we'll get into some of the options Howie has to replace Nigel Bradham and even Jordan Hicks from last year. They've never really replaced that production. Kamu Grugier-Hill is also a free agent. So right now, Geno's arch nemesis, Nate Geary, is one of the only guys that has really played a substantial amount of snaps that the Eagles have to offer at linebacker right now. And I would try to do everything in your power to avoid having him have a big role in 2020. So me and Geno coming up next, we'll get into some options. First, we'll start off with free agency, and then segment three, we'll get into the draft. Don't go anywhere. This is Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back in. Eagles fans across the globe, thanks for tuning in. Louis DiBiase alongside Geno Camilleri. It's another episode of Offseason Options, and today we're going to get into linebacker because Nigel Bradham was released by Philadelphia today, Tuesday, February 18th. They clear up $5 million in cap space, get rid of that $8 million cap hit, which would have been seventh highest on the team. So, Geno, now, as we teased at the end of segment one, Kamu is a free agent. Nate Geary is not somebody me and you want to rely on based on what we saw on the field last year. I really like TJ Edwards as a guy in base, you know, against the run. Maybe you re-sign Kamu, but right now, man, they're looking at a complete overhaul where you're going to have to probably draft a couple guys and sign one or two.
Without a doubt. I mean, that's what we're talking about with this position is essentially the closest thing to a rebuild position-wise on this team. Agreed. I would think.
Because even corner, like Avante Maddox and Craven LeBlanc are better foundation pieces than anything you have at linebacker.
Yeah, those are a retool position, much like wide receiver, but right now you're sitting here with a whole lot of question marks, and this is, as much as we don't like to believe it is a bigger need than I think most people recognize, and we'll get into this in the next segment, but I've been promoting the idea of bringing in a linebacker early in this draft, and we'll talk
about
that.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. I'm fine with it. For Bradham's role, you have to fill that.
You need something there, dude.
Especially with Malcolm Jenkins' future.
He was calling plays, bro.
Right, yeah. That's the other thing you have to remember is it's not just Bradham. It's not a player just what they can do in coverage and against the run and that kind of stuff, but it's also like, I hate to say the, you know, field general, but that is kind of what Philadelphia needs. They need a communicator for both levels, and especially with Malcolm Jenkins is that guy as well at safety, and he lines up all over the formation, but Malcolm Jenkins' future is up in the air right now with the Birds, and even if he does sign a contract extension, you know, he's in his 30s now, so that's a role specifically not really based on a position, but like a communicator, a leader on the defense on the field. That's something you got to fill too that you lose with Nigel Bradham.
You need somebody that understands the game inside and understands the scheme because that's why
Schwartz liked
Schwartz
him so much,
brought
right?
Him here.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he brought him here from Buffalo for a reason. He brought a lot of those guys from Buffalo for a reason because they got his scheme. They knew what they were going to be deployed to do, and that's what they're looking. I would feel you're looking for that in free agency. You're going to try and find a veteran that could be a stopgap for a potential draftee early on in this class.
So let's head into, Geno, before we get into the draft next segment, let's get into some options here in free agency. And look, again, I like TJ Edwards. I think Kamu would be a good second linebacker to have on the field a lot. Again, that's the role that I'm not as concerned about when we're talking about linebacker. But for Nigel Bradham specifically, this is a guy, again, that his role is very important. It's a do-it-all, three-down player. And that's, again, linebacker, yes, not as important as safety, corner, defensive end, but Nigel Bradham specifically, they're going to have to fill this. In free agency, there's some options, not a whole lot of, you know, star power in this class, but I look at a
definitely
guy like
not the best.
No, for sure. And one guy, I don't know who you're thinking, but Cleveland Browns linebacker Joe Schobert is someone maybe. He's 26 mm-hmm. years old, 4 interceptions last year, so he has some coverage ability, and he's solid against the run. I mean, that's an option. But then I saw on the list like Packers linebacker Blake Martinez. You know, he's had a lot of production over the last 3 years, but he really struggles in coverage. And to me, like, if you're a liability in coverage, that I'm sorry, I can't have you as one of my every down players.
Yeah, and that's why I'm looking at a guy like Corey Littleton.
I saw him as well, yeah.
I think that's the type of mold that you're going to go with. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not the biggest guy. He's more of an athletic backer, as you see from his play. He has that ability to cover, and I think much like a guy like Schobert, he can bring that to you. And I mean, if you're going to look at another guy, Neville Hewitt, same type of thing from
sure.
the Jets, like both guys that can cover, both guys that, I mean, Littleton had 134 tackles last year. Hewitt had 75 in 12 games for the rather. But I mean, it's not the biggest crop, but I don't think you're looking long term at this position. And I think if you look at what they did with Bradham, they were going to start to take that type of approach at the linebacker position mm-hmm. because, I mean, in reality, you need two for consistent play in this
yeah,
style.
Yeah, just two, I think, is fine. Yeah.
So, yeah, you get a stopgap guy here. I mean, you get a guy who's on his second contract trying to maybe get a one-year mm-hmm. deal type of thing with one of these 27, 26-year-old guys. And then I think the draft is really where you're going to make your money.
I agree with you, for sure.
Don't rely too much on free agency because I believe there are other positions, which we'll talk about down the line, that I think they're going to further load that money to.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think a Schobert is maybe an option, a Littleton, like you said, but maybe free agency is more so – maybe you just re-sign Kamu Grigia-Hill. That's the area of
I'm good with that.
Talent where you kind of you add that second linebacker through free agency, and then in the draft is where you really look to replace Nigel Bradham's production. I'm with you. And we'll get into the draft coming up, but real quick before we take a break, do you think there's any way Bradham still comes back on a more team-friendly deal again? I mean, this is a guy that loves playing for Jim Schwartz, for Doug Peterson, for the city of Philadelphia. Could you see maybe like a Timmy Jernigan situation from last year where he looks at the market and there's not a whole lot he likes and comes back on a one-year deal? I mean, if the Eagles, I wouldn't hate it. I would still want to draft somebody. I would be okay still with a Patrick Queen or a Kenneth Murray, but I don't know. What do you think about that? I mean, his production did dip pretty significantly last year, so it'd have to be pretty cheap.
You know, I don't want to rely on it. Like,
yeah, I'm with you.
I feel like we're in the situation where we're like, with the field stretching wide receiver, I feel like I don't want to get caught in that rut that we've been in for like the past 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
sure.
failing to replace that field stretcher. I don't want to
just
fail
keep bringing
to
back Jordan Matthews when things go. Yeah.
if you look at it right now, Lou, like what are the most important positions and the guys that are asked to do the most things on this defense? The defensive line, they're just asked to get to the quarterbacks, mm-hmm. but the guys on the defense that really matter to this scheme are arguably all of your safeties. You need a lockdown cover corner, and you need a linebacker that can cover those tight ends and make plays from the interior. He's arguably the fourth most important guy on this defense. Like, you need a guy in there that can make plays because, man, I don't know if I would even want to bring him back just because I don't think he was of the level of play that I want to see from that position.
Yeah,
I mean,
you don't want that complacency when it comes to replacing
had
it.
To do it, like,
yeah.
Go ahead, but I don't want to depend on it.
No, I'm with you. You don't want to have that complacency when it comes to trying to fill Definitely. That role again. You want to upgrade it. Yeah, I'm with you. You don't want to, out of fear of having a worse situation, I'm with you that you shouldn't just get too comfortable with Bradham. I feel like that's, you know, you talked about receiver. I feel like that's happened a lot with this team over the past couple of years was, all right, all these guys got hurt. Let's just bring back Jordan Matthews and we'll go from there. They finally took a leap and said, no, you know what? We're going to see what Greg Ward can do. We're going to see what these younger, more explosive guys can do. And even not just at receiver, but we're going to try to mask the receiver production at running back and tight end. And it worked out way better than the complacent approach of just re-signing Jordan Matthews. I'm with you. So I just wanted to kind of run that by you real quick. The draft is the big avenue of talent acquisition that I think they're going to be able to replace Bradham, and we'll get into who that could be coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri joining you on this Tuesday edition of the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, everybody, welcome back in. We are wrapping up this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles. It's offseason options, linebacker edition. We're trying to fill the void of Nigel Bradham, who just got released by the Eagles today. And, Gino, we kind of both agreed in free agency, maybe that's the area where you add that second linebacker, that Jordan Hicks kind of role, because Kamu Grugier-Hill is also a free agent. Maybe you bring back him. There are some options at linebacker, but there aren't a lot of stars that are going to be able to just be your three-down linebacker and be an absolute stud. We mentioned guys like maybe Joe Schobert. Who else do we mention? Corey Littleton, Blake Martinez, but none of those are really options that get you totally excited. The draft, however, I'm not opposed anymore, man. It's crazy how high his stock has just skyrocketed, but I think it's just. LSU linebacker Patrick Queen at 21, I wouldn't bat an eye. I remember on your mock draft Monday a couple weeks ago, you had Patrick Queen coming to Philadelphia. I mean, I'm in.
You didn't see I tweeted that out again today?
Oh, no, I didn't see it.
I said, now I will tweet this again after Brandon.
Good, yeah,
was
double
released.
Down. I'm with you. I think it's better
what are
now.
Your opinions now.
Yeah.
And not many people change their opinions, which, Lou, I mean, I feel like we're in an alternate universe that you and I are defending linebackers.
I know.
I think it's great not to salivate at the idea of putting a playmaker like Patrick Queen.
He can just fly. I mean, that, I remember, I didn't really know who he was, dude, until probably around the time of the national championship. I kind of get late. I'm late to the party normally on draft Twitter until around the end of the college football season. I really get
it's
familiar
right,
with
it's
these
a 24/7
guys.
24/7 job, I understand.
Because I'm so consumed with the Eagles during the regular season. And before I did a podcast on who to watch in the draft for the national championship, I started watching Patrick Queen, and I'm like, holy cow. Because it's the other dude is who everybody was talking about, or at least was the more well-known LSU linebacker, Phillips, right? And Patrick Queen just kept sticking out. I'm like, who's number eight? I mean, he's flying across the field. That's a guy that at 21, I'm okay with.
You look at Isaiah Simmons, who right now is going to be the number one linebacker
taken off
the board without. What does he do well? He can make plays from inside, outside the numbers. He can get to the quarterback. He can be used all over the formation and really is what you're calling a positionless football player. And that's what is the trend that is happening in the NFL. Patrick Queen is the same exact guy, just not as good. But that's not a bad thing by any means, because Patrick Queen is still a very good football player. The reason his stock isn't as high has nothing to do with his on-field abilities. It's all he had off-field question marks. He got suspended. There were some things off the field that really keep teams away from him, which I think the Eagles might stay away from him. But, man, on the field, strictly looking at what he does, he was one of the best players on that national championship defense without a doubt. And the thing is, you look at other guys in that on that defense that we talk about drafting, like Chiazon, you talk about Delfitt, you talk about Fulton at corner.
Mm-hmm.
All those guys have question marks. Patrick Queen, to me, he's a complete player. Like, he just does it
all. And he's an upside guy, too. Like, he's not one of those college production players where he is what
all.
He is. Yeah, so he hasn't even scratched the surface, to me, of his potential. Do you think, though, because of how the Eagles are very much like us, I think the way I feel about linebacker has a lot to do with how the Eagles feel about linebacker over the years. It's not what it used to be where it's like
a lot of positions
yeah,
we think like that.
Yeah, I feel like it's not what it used to be where I used to like have anxiety attacks about linebacker in 2011. Like, oh man, are we going in with Jamar Chaney again? Is Brian Roll going to be our linebacker? Like, what are we doing here again? Casey Matthews, we're trying at middle linebacker, where now it seems like Philadelphia has totally flipped the script. And I think the entire NFL has, where it's not a position that they prioritize that much, clearly, with the moves they've made over the last few years and letting a guy like LJ Fort go for a comp pick. Do you think that, I mean, because I'm in on Patrick Queen now, that role is important, but I don't know if the organization is willing to invest that much value in the position.
That's the thing I think about. But
yeah.
At the same time, like, you can't really look at organizational philosophy because it's changed so much
True,
over the past
fair.
10 years. I mean, even though Howie has been the guy, look at the guys who have been behind Howie. And, I mean, he had Andy Reid in those early years, and then Chip comes to town. He gets his guys, and then Joe Douglas comes to town and implements his scheme and gets his guys. Now it's just Howie on his own. He has another guy behind him. it's not just the Howie Roseman show. Like, there are different philosophies, and Howie is open to growing and understanding.
I was going
to
say, he adjusts every year. Like, his philosophy, I feel like, is different.
Yeah, they're one of the most forward-thinking organizations in the NFL. Like, let's not think of it in a bad light. So going big at linebacker and seeing what happens to a defense. I mean, look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, dude. They're picking top five any day of the week if it isn't for Devin Bush in that defense, if it isn't for investing in a guy like Minkah Fitzpatrick, who you could put all over the defense, a guy like Devin Bush, who you can put all over the defense, guys like Patrick Queen and Kenneth Murray's and your Troy Dyes, those guys that you can deploy everywhere. Man, I don't care what your organizational philosophy is. You have to think of what the philosophy is in the NFL and what teams are doing nowadays. Yep. You have to be proactive, and getting a player like that is being proactive.
Yep, every year you got to adjust. There's different ways to win. There's no one set formula. Each year you got to go with the trends. You got to maybe go against the trend. And I think you make a great point that Howie Roseman is someone that adjusts every single year. He does have certain beliefs that stick every single year, like how important the quarterback position is, right? Last year, the whole thing was, and I was questionable on this too, was does Howie Roseman, does Doug Peterson, does this organization believe in a all-around three-down weapon at running back? Do they believe in investing real resources into that? And they drafted Miles Sanders in the second round, and look how it panned out. So would it be surprising at all this year if that was linebacker and they took Patrick Queen or Kenneth Murray?
I mean, you're seeing it now. I mean, that's an excellent point that I didn't even think of. Yeah. I mean, you're now
proof that they do
it.
Adjust each year.
Yeah, dude, they're investing second round picks in tight ends. Like, they put high stock in Zach Ertz. They put high stock in Dallas Goedert. They put high stock in a guy like Miles Sanders. I mean, how long has it been since they picked a tight end in the second round before Zach Ertz?
Right.
You know, and then they do it twice in how many years?
Mm-hmm.
And now they have Miles Sanders. They're picking a running back. And I just believe that they're changing, and they're thinking of it in a different light. And getting one of those safeties that can really do it all is huge. And if you believe in Jim Schwartz, that's the type of guy that Schwartz needs. I mean, ultimately, he needs that type of player, and that's exactly the type of guy I would bring to town. And if it means taking a first-round pick on a guy like Patrick Queen, yeah, I'm in, Lou, and I don't care if you need a wide receiver. To me, there's so much depth at receiver. There's so much depth at safety. There's so much depth at corner. But man,
and it's not there at linebacker.
Patrick
right?
Queen, those guys don't come around every single day.
Well, that's
no way.
It's true. And you look at how deep those other positions are compared to linebacker, man. Like, I don't love the options day two. I like some of the options day three. One of my favorites is Justin Cernad from Wake Forest. But I look at like the second and third round, there aren't a lot of players that I would be really excited about them taking a linebacker. To me, if you don't take a Patrick Queen or a Kenneth Murray, or you fill the role in free agency, to me, I'm not really taking one until late in the draft then, probably.
Yeah, you got to believe that once those guys start going, you're going to see teams trade up for a guy like Troy Dye.
Sure.
I mean, if Dye isn't hurt most of the season with that club on his hand, he's going to have one of the better seasons in Oregon linebackers history. He's going to test through the roof. He's an athletic freak. I mean, I tweeted out one guy that I wouldn't mind today, Logan Wilson out of Wyoming. He had 400-plus tackles at Wyoming. He was a former safety. Unlike Nate Geary, actually excels in coverage, really understands breaking down angles.
That's the problem with Nate Geary, man, is like I like the philosophy of what he is. Like, he's a safety turned into a linebacker. I like that kind of player. The problem is he's just not a good player. I mean, that's the thing. The type
Nor
of
has he ever been.
The type of player he's supposed to be. Yes, that's what I want. He is just not that. So, yeah, I don't think Nate Geary being bad should deter you from taking someone like a Logan Wilson. I think, you know, to kind of wrap this up, I do think philosophically the Eagles do have a belief about linebacker. I don't think it's a position where they'll ever invest a ton of money and a ton of draft picks in 2, 3, 4 different guys. But once again, I want to separate the position itself from the role of what Nigel Bradham in an every down, like that one linebacker is compared to, the second guy, the third guy, the fourth guy, I don't care as much about. But this role that you're losing in Nigel Bradham, that's one that you have to fill. And it's one that I could see the Eagles saying, okay, we have to fill this and let's put some value into it and go with a Patrick Queen. So I think that's my final thoughts, is that I'm not crazy about the position. It's more so the role of this one player that I think is very important.
I want people to go into this offseason not looking at, like I said earlier, just looking at the position, but really the role and understanding what Nigel Bradham was to this team, right, and just looking around and what some of the key elements are to this defense and what Malcolm Jenkins is to this defense and the role Jalen Mills plays and the role Fletcher Cox plays, and really understand what they are, and understanding that just drafting a linebacker is different than drafting a linebacker that excels in the role that you want him to play. You're going to put a bigger emphasis on guys that fit your scheme much more than just a guy that is another linebacker. Queen isn't just another linebacker. He's a guy that can do it differently. And if you're going to put big assets into a player like that, this is the class to do it, because teams are going to fall in love with wide receivers and try and move up. Teams are going to try and move up to get quarterbacks in this class. You're going to see good defensive players fall in this class. And Lou, we talk about offense being big for this team. There are a lot of turnovers on the defensive side of the ball. You need help there long term. So do not dismiss the idea of them taking a defensive player in round one.
Yeah, look, I think the offense actually has more long-term stability right now, because you still know you've got Andre Dillard, Isaac Seumalo, Jason Kelsey, Brandon Brooks, Lane Johnson. Like, your offensive line is good. Carson Wentz is your quarterback. Miles Sanders is your running back. Ertz, Goddard. Receiver is a question mark for sure, but the defense, yeah, man, like, you got to rebuild two whole levels of it, most likely, or at least your entire cornerback position and linebackers. So defense is very important, and if linebackers specifically, there aren't as many options where receiver, if I don't draft one in the first round, I can still come away with Robbie Anderson this year. Or in the draft, I could come away in the second round with a Brandon Ayuk or a KJ Hamler. At cornerback,
yeah, like,
I could trade.
What happens if we sign Robbie Anderson?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Are we really panicking that much?
No, we wouldn't. Because then you have you got to remember DeSean Jackson's still coming back, and you have Greg Ward and JJ Arcega-Whiteside. You want to see what they'll do in their second year as having a role with this team. And that's why, to me, I wouldn't hate linebacker in the first round, because at cornerback, too, you could trade for Darius Slay. You could sign Byron Jones. There's more options where linebacker, if Kenneth Murray or Patrick Queen are available at 21, you really got to ask yourself. It's not always, see, this is why I don't like the black and white, just best player available. You got to think, all right, hey, we really need a wide receiver, too, but let's look at the depth. Let's look at the depth of free agency. This is all stuff, I'm sure, right now that they're talking about.
Sometimes things play out differently. I think the team saw that a lot last year when you had the ability to draft Dillard. Would it have been nice to go elsewhere in the class? Of course. But, man, you now have your left tackle of the future. We have one of the most important positions on the football field taken care of for at least the next decade, and this team has done a great job bringing left tackles to town. Now let's change our philosophy. Let's bring a good linebacker to town. Let's bring some athleticism to this defense. Bring in some guys that can make some open field tackles and really bring some versatility to this defense, because that's the modern day of the NFL linebacker, and it's only going to continue to improve into that fashion.
I'm with you, brother. Good way to wrap up this edition of Locked On Eagles offseason options linebacker getting into today. So we enjoyed the show. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it as well. Tomorrow we will flip the script again and we'll talk offense. We'll get into running back, which was supposed to be today, but I felt like with Nigel Bradham getting released, it's a perfect time to talk about what is a big need now for the Eagles this offseason. So we'll go offense, defense each day until we wrap up this series. If you missed any of the past shows, make sure to subscribe on any podcast platform, or always we post them on LockedOnEagles.com. Follow Gino on Twitter at Gino_LOE. Follow me on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE. And we'll hear from you tomorrow, and you'll hear from us tomorrow. And also, by the way, the NFL Combine next Wednesday, right, Gino? The 26th, it starts up, so we'll have a ton of coverage on that as well next week. So it's a very busy time right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.